Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Help for HD Lyme, the first podcast created for families living with Huntington's and juvenile Huntington's disease. Don't forget to find us on iTunes, Blog Talk, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. You can also search over 500 archived episodes and other projects at helpforhd.org. To watch us in person, find Help for HD TV on YouTube and subscribe and ring the bell for notifications on new content. Help for HD Live is going on air in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning in to Help for HD Live. This show is made possible because of a grant from Teva Pharmaceuticals, Neurocrin Biosciences, and the Griffin Foundation. I'm your host, Lauren Holder. Today, I have Lauren Byrne and Rebecca Mason on with me to talk about Join HD. If you do not know them or you have not met them, they are truly amazing, funny women who are researchers and just helping us in the cause of finding a cure for HD and JHD. Thank you, ladies, for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Lauren, can you share a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in this?
Sure. So I wear kind of a few hats in the HD community. So I'm actually from a Huntington's disease family who are based in Northern Ireland. My dad has HD, as do several of my family members, and have many that are still at risk. But I started researching HD back in 2015, and have been working at University College London, previously under Ed Wild, but just started my own group. And I started to volunteer with the Huntington's Disease Youth Organization back in, I think, 2018 or 2019. I was particularly involved in setting up our research committee and got involved in setting up the Join HD Registry, which is our juvenile onset initiative for Huntington's disease. And that was kind of a combined effort, which we can kind of talk a bit about in a bit.
Well, I know we're so lucky to have you. It's always great to me to have somebody who's directly affected by HD in something like this, just because I feel like it really shows collaboration and the melding of the two. So awesome. Rebecca, could you just share a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, of course. So I'm Rebecca. I'm based in Sheffield in the UK. I've been working in Huntington's disease research since 2017, when I worked at my local hospital running some HD trials. So I've worked on Enroll HD, and then I also ran the Generation HD1 Roche drug trial locally to where I lived as well. And as well as working on those adult HD studies, I also ran a portfolio of rare disease studies for children. So when I saw a job come up at HDO to run the Join HD registry for children who were impacted by HD, I thought it seemed like a perfect fit. So I started working with HDO. It was kind of the beginning of last year. And yeah, I've been working with them since. So my main responsibility is running Join HD. And then I also help with any other research activities of the organization.
Awesome. Well, we are certainly glad to have you as well, as you are a veteran to this. And helping the HD community. So let's talk about Join HD. What is Join HD?
In simple terms, it's what we call a registry. A registry is basically a list of people, and it's very useful in rare diseases and has been used in the rare disease field for many years to build the knowledge base that we need for these diseases to run clinical trials and find these patients and be able to get treatments for them. So on the most basic level, it's a place for people impacted by juvenile HD to sign up and be found and hopefully initiate future research for this, I would say, kind of underserved population in the HD community.
Yeah, and let's talk about that underserved population. So obviously, most of us know about adult onset and what that involves. But that juvenile onset is even rarer and is its own little beast. Can you go into that a little bit and how it's different from adult onset and similar, but really it's its own, just its own beast. So I'd love for you to explain it.
So Huntington's itself is classed as a rare disease, as you said, but I think the most recent estimate from studies says that there's about 5% of HD cases are juvenile HD, which just means the onset of symptoms occur before the age of 21. So this is a very small number. And there's a huge reason why we don't know a lot about these people, not just because of how rare it is. So one thing is that our specialist HD researchers normally are adult neurologists or adult geneticists. And our specialist clinics are usually run by these people. And some of them might never ever come across a juvenile HD case their entire career. So even the people that we know in HD field very well that know so much about Huntington's disease as what we believe to be adult Huntington's disease, they might know relatively a lot less about juvenile HD. And for this reason, it's very hard to recruit for studies and to do the kind of research that we've done that has been so successful in adult Huntington's disease, like what we call observational research or natural history, where you can observe lots of people that carry the gene and don't carry the gene and see what's different about them. This is really hard to do when you can't find the patients and you can't actually measure them. And then there's the issues of them not getting into these services because there's such a gap between pediatric services and adult services. There's also a huge issue with diagnosis. So it's quite difficult to diagnose a young child that may be displaying signs and symptoms of juvenile Huntington's disease. So the earlier signs of juvenile HD could be potentially other conditions that might be developmental, could be behavioral. So doctors like to be really sure before they do a genetic test. So it can often mean years of waiting to get a diagnosis and wait until they have really physical signs, which is quite later on probably in their disease. So that's a big limitation as well. We're hoping to kind of make that process easier in the future, the more we know about these diseases. And Huntington's, as you know, Lauren, and I know, you know, anyone affected from families is isolating as it is, but these families, even within their own network of Huntington's disease, are isolated because there's so little understanding of the symptoms and how people, how it manifests, because it can look very different from adult onset. The symptoms, often the movements are different. So you have the classic movements in Huntington's disease, the adult onset is this thing called chorea, which comes from the Greek word to dance. So it's more jerky, involuntary movements, shakes and fidgeting. Whereas when it manifests earlier, like in children or in teenagers, it can often be more slowness of movement, stiffness, sometimes tremors, sometimes seizures. Things that are look a bit more like Parkinson's, they often get misdiagnosed for this reason, or even family members not thinking they have the disease, it's really tough for these families who may also be caring for one parent that already has it and the child at the same time.
And I gotta say, you know, the kids that have this are just truly amazing to be their age and having to deal with this disease. And they're so resilient and I just, such warriors. So I'm glad that we are doing a show focusing on that. So how would a family that has juvenile onset in their family get involved in Join HD?
Do you want to talk about this, Rebecca?
Yeah, sure. So families can get involved. So the easiest thing to do would just be to Google Join HD. So it's got its own website now, which is joinhd.org, or you can access it through the HDO website. So on there, there's a link to register your interest. So the first step for people who might want to take part is to let us know who they are. So they fill out a little form with their name, address, email address, things like that. And then I get back in touch with more information. So I'll send over an information sheet, which gives more details about the project. And we'll just chat by email to see if they would like to take part. And if they do, the next step is for me to have a video call with these families where we get to know each other a little bit. And if they do decide to take part in Join HD, I set them up an account on the registry website. And then from there, it's kind of a very low impact study. So from that point on, we won't need to be in touch any further. It's all done online. So they can go onto the registry website and there will be questionnaires for them to fill out in their own time. And then it just goes on from there. So it's not like a one and done thing. So the idea is that we get people on board and then they're part of the Join HD community. So we'll get back in touch with things like newsletters, and we have a Facebook group for our participants, an optional Facebook group, so that they can get to know each other if they want to. But yeah, in terms of what they actually do, there's some initial questionnaires that are on there at the moment, and the idea is that over time these people will stay as part of the registry and we can get more research on there, more questionnaires for them to fill out, and that it will be an ongoing thing for them.
That's awesome. So what ages are you looking for? Because Lauren, you mentioned diagnosis before the age of 21. So if somebody is 21 and they have a diagnosis, are you guys still counting that because of possibly being juvenile onset? Like, how are you guys doing that part?
Yeah, so we've intentionally left it really open. So we wanted to include as many people as we can. And we know with the complexities of getting that diagnosis for JHD, we didn't want to rule out people if there was belief in the family that they may have JHD. So it's open to any age. Obviously, where it's younger children who are affected, it will be their parent or caregiver that's completing the questionnaires on their behalf. But then we, on the other end of the scale, we also have adults with JOHD who are taking part as well. So yeah, there's no age cutoff. Anyone of any age who's impacted or think they might be impacted is welcome to join.
That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah, and even if they're over 21, but they think they had symptoms before that, they would qualify.
Nice. So. Okay, that's great. So basically going to joinhd.org is the way to do it, the fastest way to get there to find out information. Do you have any other information or thoughts that you'd like to share with the community while I've got you on?
For sure. I think I wanted to kind of really get across this idea of giving the JHD community a voice. This is really, we talk about stand up trials and stand up registries for the patient community to really kind of show that they're there, because we deal with a lot of professionals that don't think there's as many as we know there is from being a patient organizer, the patient advocacy organization. We know there's families that don't make it to clinic, that don't have access to the specialist services that we know of, and they can be very sparse and few between, but this is an opportunity to bring people together and give them a global community, which is desperately needed with the isolation that, at least from all the families we've been talking to, are feeling. We have a family advisory group who we kind of run everything past as we do each bit, and that was a big thing that came out from them, is this feel the real pull for them is having a global community, and we want to really foster that and grow that. And we want to learn from these families because they're the experts. They are the only ones who really know what JHD, juvenile HD, is. And I think we need to listen to them and hear from them so we can then put that back into the research and come up with the tools that are more relevant to this disease.
100% agree with that. I think you're right. It is definitely a community that has not had a voice, even like we have with the adult onset. So I love that this is now there to give them a voice and to really help them be part of creating that research, right? Mm-hmm. It is truly a collaboration.
And I've noticed something in the last year, a shift of people thinking about juvenile HD in the field already. And that's amazing if we are even just a fraction of part of driving that. The companies are starting to think a bit more about juvenile HD and realize, oh, they have no information and they need to back us. And hopefully this will just be a snowball into something a lot bigger. But we are very kind of cognizant of the burden already on these families, and we don't want to overburden them as well. So we're thinking a lot about that. That's why the registry is designed to be in your own home as minimal effort as possible. So they can take part without it being just an extra thing that they have to worry about.
Yeah. And so I want to go back to that for a second, because as all HD caregivers know, it's hard being a caregiver. It's hard to balance everything as a caregiver for somebody with adult onset. But when you have juvenile onset, you've got a child with it. Not only are you dealing with HD, but you're dealing with it in a child who can't comprehend necessarily what's going on to the point that we do. And they haven't developed a way to cope. You know, we, as we get older and we become adults, we have this way of learning to cope with things, but kids, it's hard. It's hard to cope.
I mean, it's hard being a teenager and developing, at all, and imagine throwing Huntington's disease in the mix. So some of those things that change over those periods of time, some of them might just be being a teenager and the parents are going to think they're, it's the juvenile HD, but it could be they're just hormonal.
Right. Exactly.
But it's, and we want to get all that information and understand that, but we need numbers to do that. We need.
And also looking at the fact that if you're taking care of a child with JHD, you're probably like in your working years too, and you're having to, your job is affected, everything, because you're taking care of a child.
And they've probably already took care of their partner.
Exactly. So, yeah. I mean, it's a huge burden, not only on the family, but it's a burden on every aspect of that caregiver's life and that family's life, work-wise, money-wise. So yeah, I'm super excited that you guys have made it so easy for them to connect. I think that it's so important to have that global community too, because I think it's very easy for us to kind of be in our bubbles, right? Like we stay in the bubble. But when you open up to a global community, you realize there are different cultures that deal with things very differently. You realize that we may be at a certain point in research here in the US, but it's very different in a different country. And then my heart went out when I found out like there are certain countries that don't have Enroll HD available.
I mean, I'm from Ireland, and in Northern Ireland doesn't have Enroll HD. The Republic do, but and Ireland's supposed to be in the NHS and everything else.
Right.
So there's huge health inequalities worldwide. Yeah. A big thing for me, I'm really excited about being able to help the communities, or at least reach out to communities in South America, which we are so indebted to, in Venezuela and things like that, whereas a registry like this is accessible to something like them.
That's awesome.
Another thing is that we work very well with all of our other specialists in the field that are doing really great research in juvenile HD, like Pagnopoulos, Fernando Squitieri in Italy, and I've started my own research at UCL that's related to juvenile HD and blood biomarkers, which I hope to connect to Join HD. So it's always, a collaborative effort, and they are part of our scientific oversight committee, and all of this we hope to be really complementary, so anybody that's taken part in theirs can also add on to this and let us know that they've been part of that, so we have all this kind of captured information of individuals that take part.
I am really excited to find out about your research. We'll have to bring you back on for that, because I want to hear about your research as you go through that and start discovering things. Rebecca, do you want to share any thoughts before we end today?
I think the only thing I'd like to add, with you talking a little bit earlier about trying to build that community, and that the JHD community hasn't really had a voice. I think from getting involved and chatting with these families a lot, that they are so good at helping each other. I think that community does exist, and if we want to make improvements to research, we just need to translate it into something organized, something like this. I've really been amazed at how the families support each other, and there's so much advice and just support there. But if we can get a similar community going in a research context, I think we'll be able to really push forward changes for JHD.
And that will be amazing to see. I am really excited about seeing it. So for those of you who have juvenile onset or think you have juvenile onset in your family, please go to joinhd.org. I'll make sure to post the link on the show page as well, and on Facebook and Twitter and all of that for you guys. But yeah, go ahead and do it. See if you can hop on there and help and get your community together and provide more of a voice and help with research. You know, this is a great opportunity. Every part of research begins with observation. And you can't get to a clinical trial without going through the observational point of it. And here we go, JHD, this is for you. So make sure to, to sign up on there. You guys keep listening to the show. We've got really great things coming up. We've got our HD Buzz monthly roundtable coming up with Jeff Carroll and Sarah Hernandez. I'm really excited about that. It's the first time I'm having Jeff on. So. We'll have an update on the Help for HD Symposium and just some other really great things coming up. So make sure to tune in on Thursdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And until next time, guys, take care.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to visit www.help4hd.org and sign up for our email newsletter to stay up to date on all that is going on at Help for HD. Get social with us and like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to Help for HD TV on YouTube, and ring the bell for notifications.